RBI single in the bottom of the ninth.
The Labor Day weekend, along with college football, is here. And how does a twin pack of Hormel Boston Butt sound at $2.18 a pound? Or maybe even 16 ounces of all varieties of Kaneka sausage, $6.48. And for the beef lovers out there, USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, $6.88 a pound. Or maybe even a 20 count of Pure Beef Hamburger Patties for $19.95. These are just some of the deals this week at South's Finest Meats that run through September the 1st. So head on over to South's Finest Meats before the weekend gets here and check out some of these amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. Are you ready? Well, you better be, because the Labor Day weekend of college football kicks off this evening with Nebraska and Cincinnati. Tomorrow night, with Auburn at Baylor, and then on Saturday with a plethora of college football games going into Sunday, and then on Monday. Who better to bring on to talk about all of those matchups than Mr. College Football himself? Tony Barnhart joins us right after this open on the Stingray Show to do a deep dive into college football week one. And then we will go nationally and talk with Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN, to continue to talk about week number one of college football right here on the Stingray Show. You better get ready because it is here. It is upon us.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look. No.
Hey, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and college football is upon us, because this evening at 8 o'clock on ESPN, we have Nebraska taking on Cincinnati. And then, of course, tomorrow is the big game out in Waco between Baylor and Auburn. And then, of course, we've got a ton of amazing games on Saturday, Sunday, and even on Monday. So go ahead and do a deep dive into all of these matchups, including the ones in the SEC. Here is our first guest of the evening, and he comes to us from the great state of Georgia. He is a legend in the SEC world. He is known as Mr. College Football. Please help us welcome back to the Stingray Show, Mr. Tony Barnhart. Tony, how are things with you here as we get set for an amazing Labor Day weekend of college football?
Well, Stephen, I can't tell you how many people walk up to me in the grocery store and say, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?" And I said, "You mean I have a choice?" No, I don't have a choice. But I am ready. I'm excited. Yeah. I've told Mrs. College Football more than once, if we get to this time, this date on the calendar, and I'm not excited, then you need to remind me that I need to go do something else.
Yes.
I'm excited. I anticipate this is number 50 for me, and I'm just as excited about this one as I was about the first 49. And after a summer spent talking and talking and talking and talking, we're ready to start doing some playing. and that is a great day.
So, Tony, if you would, go ahead and tell our listeners again how you got the name Mr. College Football.
Stephen, I always preface this by saying I can take no credit whatsoever. It wasn't my idea. But in the 80s, early 90s, the AJC, I worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for 25 years. Then they were ramping up their online product. They didn't have an online product. Now they're ramping up the online product. And the guy who's putting it together, a guy by the name of Scott Peacock, just like the NBC bird.
Right.
He came up to me and he said, Tony, I was the lead college football writer at the time. Mm-hmm. And he just said, we want you to do a blog. And I said, Scott, that's great. What's a blog? And he explained to me what it was. And I said, I know what you want me to write, something online that's going to get people arguing amongst themselves. He said, that's it exactly.
Yeah.
I said, well, I can do that. Said, and oh, by the way, we're going to give it a title. I said, you're going to give it a title? I said, yeah, we're going to call it Mr. College Football. I said, Scott, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. That is just, that's so cheesy. I can't believe you'd want to do that. He said, Tony, trust us. Cheesy works on the internet. And so that's how it happened. It's always stuck. When I left the AJC, I made sure I could take it with me, and I did, and it has stuck. And let's put it this way, Stephen, I ain't giving it back. Let's put it that way.
So, Tony, congratulations on 50 years of covering college football this year. And if you would, give us your expectations of the SEC and college football as a whole in 2025.
Well, let's start with the SEC. And, okay. And you know, it's really going to be just like last year. I thought last year there were a lot of really, really good teams in the SEC, but no great teams.
Yes.
You know, Texas and Georgia had a chance, but they had flaws and all that. And I think that's what we're going to have this year as well. But does that mean a national championship could emerge out of this conference? Absolutely. Absolutely could. But it's going to be a good year, a lot of fun, because there's so many good teams. As far as college football as a whole, I mean, it's hard to do better than opening the season with Texas and Ohio State at Ohio State, the defending national champions. I happen to think the best game, that's a great game. I happen to think the best game on the board, though, is actually LSU going to Clemson.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be just a tremendous game. But it's going to be another good season. And like I said, we now can start talking about the games, the game on the field and all that. And so that's what's going to make it fun. And we're getting out, you mentioned at the top of the show, the games we're going to have this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Tony, I'm not a pessimist. I don't believe the sky is falling. And I do not think this will happen at all. But let's just say LSU gets blown out by Clemson. Let's say Texas looks bad against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Let's say Baylor makes Auburn look like a joke. I know what we're going to hear. SEC's down this year. They're not good. They're not terrible. I don't think all three of those teams are going to lose those games. And even if they do, I don't think it's going to be blowouts.
Right.
But I am prepared for after the weekend to hear the SEC's not that strong. Even if it's a field goal win by all three of those.
Right.
I am prepared to hear that. Feel free to squash that before it gets going.
Well, you know, will it happen? Oh, sure. It's going to, because, you know, our friends in the Big Ten are very, you know, they're very low key. They don't get upset about very much. You're going to hear all that. The fact of the matter is that the people in this room today, as we speak, are smart, and they know what's going on. You guys would agree with that, right? We're smart. Yes. And now, will it happen? Yes. Is it relevant that it happens? No, it's not really.
Tony, you kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit. This business, especially the talking heads, they don't have to be accurate. They just have to be entertaining, and they always want to put down the SEC or tell us how great the SEC is, one or the other. And I get it. I understand what they're doing. I want to be honest. I think the SEC is the best conference in football this year. Are other teams kind of catching up? Yes, I would admit that. I think the Big 12 is taking a step up, but there's still many steps behind. But I do think the Little 10, the Big 10, I think they have made a very huge surge forward. Talk about where the SEC is, and are other conferences catching them?
Well, I would say this about the SEC and compared to other conferences, and it's this. the top half of the SEC and the top half of the Big Ten are comparable.
Yeah.
The bottom half of the SEC and the bottom half of the Big Ten are not comparable.
Correct.
That is the difference. That's been that way for a while. And listen, it all happens now, guys, because you've got the transfer portal. You've got NIL. Player movement is more significant than it's ever been, which evens out the talent across the board. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. I want as many competitive games. I don't want to see cupcake blowout games.
Right.
And so is the gap closing between everybody and the SEC? Oh, sure. But you knew that was coming when they started making it where you could get more money and move very easily. You knew that was coming.
So we've got to throw it to break for the first time this evening. And when we come back, we are going to continue with Mr. College Football Tony Bornhardt. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Stingray Show. Be back in a flash. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still some slowing north on Lurleen Wallace after an accident was cleared at Stillman Boulevard. Traveling on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's an 8-minute drive. We also have congestion west on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker. It's a 14-minute drive. Roadwork continues on University Boulevard. The area is closed from Campus Drive to Colonial. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And with that, we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. Our first guest of the evening is Mr. College Football Tony Bornhardt. And then later on, we will get to Adam Rittenberg. So let's go on ahead and continue our interview with Tony Bornhardt. So, Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that happened in the offseason that everybody talked about to the nth degree, and that was Nico and the situation of him with Tennessee and then ultimately moving on to UCLA. If you would, give us your thoughts on how everything transpired with Nico, Tennessee, and UCLA, please.
Well, first of all, I would say that I'm in favor of the player movement. I mean, within the rules, I am fine with that. My problem, like a lot of people, was the timing of it, okay? Right. Which is why I believe, just after talking to the coaches, that they want one big 10-day, 12-day window for the transfer portal. And I think that makes a lot of sense, so you know. But just for a guy to leave right at the – it was like right at the start of spring practice or right at the end of spring practice. I always get it confused. But the point is, that's not when you want player movement. Yeah. So I think that's a big thing. Now, I'm being told the coach is going to have, if they want one window, that's going to be a fight. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Tony, I know we all know the answer to this, and the answer is yes. Do we need a college football commissioner? Yes.
Yes. And say at least – Tim Brando and I started beating this drum about 10 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Going on the air and saying that this is something that, because there's nobody that's looking out for the complete good of the game. I would say that Greg Sankey's done a good job of thinking about the big picture, but you do need a commissioner to do that and to step in when enforcement needs to be done. And so, yeah, we do. And I think Nick Saban would be pretty good at that job.
I think Nick Saban would be good. I think Andrew Luck's father would be good. There's a lot of people, I think.
Yes. That would be he'd be very good.
So when are we going to get that commissioner, Tony?
Well, first of all, we got to get all of this stuff behind us. Okay, you're not going to come in and fix all. We've got to get the NIL. We've got to get the transfer portal. And that's going to get resolved. And I talked to a pretty well known athletic director not too long ago. He said, we still got this. This is not going to get resolved anytime soon. We're looking at least another year or two to get this resolved. Well, first of all, we got to decide what the playoff's going to be in 2026.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Mm.
And until the SEC and the Big Ten start playing nice in the sandbox together, we're not going to have a change. We're going to be at 12. So that's got to get resolved.
Yeah. So, Tony, let's go on ahead and quit talking about outside things. Let's focus on the games that are going to be starting tomorrow and then on Saturday. Give us a little bit of a preview of Auburn at Baylor, please.
Well, I think Auburn's going to have a nice bounce back year. I don't know about them winning 9 games or anything like that, but I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. But again, you got a lot of good teams. Divisional play has gone away. That's a factor. So I think Auburn will have a good year, not a great year. And the game against Baylor, he's done a tremendous job at Baylor. And I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a tight game. But I've got Auburn winning that game.
Okay.
You know, is that going to be a high-scoring affair? Because – I see where both teams could struggle a little bit, but then I also see that this game, neither one of them could stop the other one from scoring. How do you see that game played out?
I think the defense is going to be better than a lot of people. I'm talking about Auburn's defense. I think Auburn's defense is going to be a lot better than people think it is. But I see the game both being in the high 20s or low 30s.
Okay. So, Tony, let's go to Saturday. At the Horseshoe, Ohio State, the defending national champions, taking on the star of the Arch Manning era. How do you see Texas at Ohio State?
Well, obviously Ohio State is very, very deep, but a new quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think I would hazard to guess that Texas is pretty satisfied with its quarterback situation. And I'm anxious to see how he's going to play. You know, like a lot of media people, I had a chance to spend a little time with him at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. I was very impressed with his demeanor. He and the media were going back and forth, and I love to see that from players.
Right.
And so I think I just think Texas with their roster, this is one of the best rosters in all of college football. And I think I think Texas is going to win this game.
Tony, we had Phil Steele on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said he thinks this Texas defense can be one of the all-time great defenses in the history of college football. And yet so many people have them second, third, or fourth in the SEC in their preseason predictions and things. Talk about that Texas defense.
Well, that Georgia defense in 2021 was pretty good.
But
I have heard that too about Texas and their defense, and they've recruited exceedingly well. And I think their roster is deeper than – I would say this, they have the deepest roster of anybody in the conference. And the question is, can they go on the road and do what they need to do? I like that game, but it's going to be fun.
So, Tony, let's go on ahead and talk about year number two under Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson as the new quarterback here at Alabama. What are your thoughts on the Alabama Crimson Tide in 2025?
I was on campus in May, and I talked to somebody on the staff. And an underplayed story, or at least it's not underplayed in our part of the world, is the fact that Kalen DeBoer gets his offensive coordinator back. He played last year without his offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb. Ryan Grubb had a chance to stay in the NFL and be a coordinator, and he couldn't pass it up. It did not work out. And now Ryan Grubb is back on the is back with Kalen DeBoer. I asked somebody on staff, I said, is this a really big deal? And the guy told me, said, this is really a big deal to have them working out together. But there's a reason that Kalen DeBoer has won 90% of his games. And it's because he's been working with the same group of coaches for the longest time. Right. So I think Kalen DeBoer year two is one of the most compelling stories in college football, because we all knew that last year, and I don't care who you would have put in after Nick Saban, that guy, and by the way, they won 9 games. Okay, it's not like it was an awful year, but we all know, for our friends at Alabama, if you don't make the playoffs, it's an awful year. And that's just the way it is. And I've got Alabama in the playoffs. So
okay.
One player I am really looking forward to seeing on this Alabama roster is Isaiah Horton. He transferred in. I didn't know this until the other day. Him and Ty Simpson were teammates in high school. I'm really looking forward. I've heard and I've read that this offense is tailored for Isaiah Horton's strengths in his game. Mm-hmm. With that being said, is Isaiah Horton going to be that guy here in the first week of the season or at the end of the season that we didn't see coming as the biggest player in the SEC?
Yeah, a difference maker from the word go, and I think he is that. And people I'm talking to say you guys are vastly underrating Ty Simpson. You're making some assumptions about him. The guy knows how to play, and so I think it's going to be a fun season. I think Alabama bounces back in a big way.
All right, so Tony, we've talked about the top half of the SEC. Now let's talk about the other side. Who do you feel like are some coaches that are on the hot seat going into this season that may lose their job during the season, please?
Well, I don't use the word phrase hot seat, but I will say it's an important year for certain coaches. It's an important year for Mark Stoops at Kentucky. It's an important year for Sam Pittman. It's a really important year there. A great story is Oklahoma bringing in John Mateer. And I am told he is a transformational player with both his arm and his legs. But it's a big game for Oklahoma, a big year for Oklahoma. So, but I think my biggest concern is for Mark Stoops and Sam Pittman in their situation.
So, Tony, look, this has been a blast. Briefly, as we walk out the door, who do you ultimately have playing in Atlanta for the SEC championship?
I've got Texas and Georgia, with Texas winning.
Okay. So a rematch from last year. Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
If there was a third team, who would that third team be?
The third team.
If you had to give a runner up to the SEC championship game, one who's just missing it.
LSU.
Okay.
Yeah.
All interesting. Right.
Okay. So, Tony, are you going to any games this weekend for Labor Day?
Yes, I'm going to be here. I'm got a home game in Atlanta, and I got Syracuse and Tennessee. I want to see Tennessee, see what they look like. I told a Tennessee crowd the other night this. I said, you better not overlook Syracuse. They won 10 games last year.
Yes.
That's a good team. And so you better keep your eyes. And then I'm going to come back on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to watch South Carolina and the Norris Sellers and play against Virginia Tech in the Frank Beamer, Shane Beamer Nostalgia Bowl.
Tony, enjoy both of the games there in Atlanta this weekend for both Heath and I. We would love to catch up with you later on this season. And from all of us here at the Stingray Show, congratulations on 50 years of covering college football in the SEC. We will catch up with you later on, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you,
Mr. College Football.
All right. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the interview there with Mr. College Football. Heath, what do you say we step outside of the SEC and talk a little national college football? That's what we're going to do on the other side of this break as Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN, joins us to talk a little Big Ten, ACC, and other teams as well. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Adam Rittenberg on deck right after this. The Labor Day weekend, along with college football, is here. And how does a twin pack of Hormel Boston Butt sound at $2.18 a pound? Or maybe even 16 ounces of all varieties of Kaneka sausage, $6.48. And for the beef lovers out there, USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, $6.88 a pound. Or maybe even a 20 count of Pure Beef Hamburger Patties for $19.95. These are just some of the deals this week at South's Finest Meats that run through September the 1st. So head on over to South's Finest Meats before the weekend gets here and check out some of these amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR. Up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up talking the SEC with Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. And hey, let's take the Stingray Show national now, Heath, as because we have some incredible national matchups this weekend, including Ohio State versus Texas in the Big Ten up there in Columbus, Ohio. And on Sunday, we have Miami taking on Notre Dame down in Miami. And in order to break down the national landscape of college football, we are about to be joined by senior writer for ESPN, Mr. Adam Rittenberg. Adam, how are things with you as we sit here right now on the start of the Labor Day football weekend?
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. It's an exciting time of year. I think there's a lot of unknowns going into this weekend, and I just would caution everybody that we're not going to get complete answers. We could certainly go through the games, and we will, and it's great to be excited about them. I just, you know, I'm a little worried with some of the new starters at quarterback at key schools that there's going to be just massive either overreaction on a positive level or doom and gloom if things don't go well, because a lot of these teams, I just would caution everybody, are going to be a lot different by the end of the season. There's not a lot of finished products when I look around the college football landscape, and it makes it for really fun opening week, second week, week three conversation. But, you know, for example, like Ohio State's going to be a dramatically different team in November. And maybe Texas will too. But you know, the reaction coming out of that game, I'm already bracing myself for.
Yes.
Adam, the only SEC question I'm going to ask you is the starting quarterbacks in the SEC. There's new guys here, there, and everywhere. You got Jackson Arnold. You got Ty Simpson. You got Arch Manning. You got John Mateer. You've got all these new guys all over the place. Austin Simmons at Ole Miss. Which one do you have the most confidence in heading into the season?
Right. Well, I think, you know, talking to coaches, the guy that's brought up the most is Garrett Nussmeier. And I know he's only had 1 year as a starter, but he's had several years developing and preparing to be a starter and has really taken the traditional path. We don't see this very often in college football, where a highly touted recruit comes in, waits his turn, develops, and then, you know, starts his last couple of seasons, which is what's going to happen for Garrett at LSU. So I think he's the guy in that league that people feel the most confident in the floor being pretty high. Now, is there a higher ceiling for an Arch Manning? Is there a higher ceiling for a DJ Lagway? I think that's how people in the league look at it. But both guys have question marks coming in, whether it's inexperience for Arch, whether it's injury history for DJ. And then some of the other guys in the conference, you know, Austin Simmons is fascinating. I don't really know what to expect other than some of the things we've heard about behind the scenes. But I want to see him on the field. I want to see what he does. But again, I think Nussmeier is the one that, you know, along with, you know, Sellers, who people feel, okay, you know, even if this doesn't go great, it's still going to go pretty well.
I know SEC fans do not want to hear this, but I have to ask it. The SEC was so dominant for about the past decade plus, winning the national championships. However, the last two national champions have come from the Big Ten, Michigan, and then Ohio State. Talk about what that did, not only for the Big Ten in trying to catch the SEC, but college football as a whole.
Yeah, I think it was long overdue for the Big Ten. You know, they felt that their top programs, at least, would be able to compete nationally and win more national titles. I think no one has the depth of the SEC. No one has the number of teams that have a potential to win the national championship. But, you know, the Big Ten's top tier now, which always was Ohio State, which at times has been Michigan, which often is Penn State. And then you add a team like Oregon, which had won some recent Pac-12 championships has competed at the college football playoff type level or just below it. And then you add Washington, who played for a national title. Like, there's programs in the Big Ten that can at least be in that mix. And so to win a couple in a row is huge. To have some variety is important. I think the next step is, can you have Penn State win one? Can you have Oregon win one? You know, teams that either haven't won in a long time or in some cases haven't won at all. You know, USC, where are they at? Where is Washington? Can somebody, you know, enter that conversation? I think that's important. But, you know, I think for Ohio State to continue to build off of that national championship, for Michigan to invest the way that it has in its roster with Bryce Underwood at quarterback, you know, they hadn't done that for an elite recruit before last summer and said, hey, we want this guy. He's in our backyard and we're going to get him and we're going to flip him from LSU. And now he's a starting quarterback for possibly the next three seasons. So, but then Penn State, you know, Penn State has this is a gradual getting to this point by improving different elements of their program. Can they take that next step, or are they still going to lose the big game? Oregon, undefeated last year, wins the Big Ten. They've had some trouble advancing in the playoffs. So, like, you know, these things are all you know, things to watch for a conference that, again, lacks the overall depth of the SEC, but I think has enough contenders to win national championships.
Adam, looking at these conferences, how would you rank them? If you had to rank them by season's end, how they're going to finish, how would you rank these conferences?
Yeah, I think going into this season, I'd probably put the SEC one, Big Ten two, fairly close. I think a lot depends on what we see out of Michigan, what we see out of Oregon. I think Ohio State and Penn State are two elite teams in the Big Ten. Whereas in the SEC, you've got certainly Texas and Georgia, but potential at LSU, potential at Alabama, potential at South Carolina, you know, Tennessee, we'll see where they're at. Yeah. I think the ACC is three. And then the Big 12, I always feel bad because, you know, in terms of fun and contenders and depth of teams that could win the conference, you know, they're right up there and they've got a great group of quarterbacks coming back. I just don't know if there's enough top end talent to justify being ahead of the ACC, where you have one, no doubt about it, national championship contender in Clemson. You've got, Miami, Louisville, SMU, some of these other teams that I think have the potential to be in that national conversation. Whereas the Big 12, I don't know if anyone can win a national championship. No. Could 9 or 10 teams win the Big 12? Sure. Could maybe 3 or 4 of them make the playoff? Absolutely. But in terms of advancing in the playoff, I think it's going to be really tough.
So, Adam, I do want to ask you about college football moving forward and your reaction. Last week, I believe it was, SEC announced that they are moving to a 9-game conference schedule next year. How does that impact college football, in your opinion, moving forward? And what was your reaction to the SEC finally going to 9 conference games?
Yeah, I was thrilled to see it. I thought this day would never come. You remember the scene in Rudy where Rudy's dad comes to Notre Dame Stadium and he looks out over the field and said, "This is the most beautiful sight these eyes have ever seen," or something like that. That's kind of how I felt when the SEC finally went to 9 conference games. I mean, how often have we talked about it? How many years have we talked about it? How much of a need? You can justify whatever you want with metrics. Oh, our 8's stronger than your 9. It's still 8 versus 9. Yeah. It just is. And that's never going to be looked at as equal. I don't care how you spin it. It just won't. It might be where you guys live, which is great. But in terms of a national argument, that's never going to work. Yeah. It just won't. So, and by the way, it's great for college football. It's great for SEC fans. You know, 3 of us have talked about it over the years. SEC fans, I don't believe, are served the best that they could be by their schools.
Yes.
Because there's too many dead weekends. There's too many wasted weekends. Some schools are having those this weekend. Now, some of those are happening in the Big Ten, too. I'm not saying it doesn't happen elsewhere. But I would love to see it. And my favorite part of that announcement, guys, was that the SEC was going to maintain that requirement to play one Power Four opponent outside of the league. And you could say, well, you know, everyone's going to schedule, you know, Wake Forest and Purdue and Stanford, but it's still a program that has the resources that can compete at a higher level versus the group of 5 or group of 6. So I'm thrilled by it. I think it's great for a number of elements. Is it great for the mid-tier, bottom-tier SEC team trying to squeak into a bowl game? Probably not. I don't really care. I think it's the benefits outweigh some of those potential drawbacks. And so it was great to see long overdue.
So we are up against our final break of the evening. And when we come back with Adam Rittenberg, we are going to dive into the matchups of week number one in college football. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Adam Rittenberg will return with us right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Joe Willie Namath. He'll lead things off starting at 2 p.m. We'll also talk with Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We'll talk to Chris Doering, former Florida wide receiver. He may give us a little insight into those FSU Seminoles. We'll talk to Brent Beard as well on an SEC Parlay Pick Day presented by Brian Harden Construction here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. On northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. Watch for ongoing construction on Skyland from I-359 to Buttermilk Road. Also, construction east on Old Birmingham Highway from 55th Avenue to Kennedy Mill Road, and construction at the I-20-59 West interchange at Foster's. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bucket.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
The Labor Day weekend, along with college football, is here. And how does a twin pack of Hormel Boston Butt sound at $2.18 a pound? Or maybe even 16 ounces of all varieties of Kaneka sausage, $6.48. And for the beef lovers out there, USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, $6.88 a pound. Or maybe even a 20 count of Pure Beef Hamburger Patties for $19.95. These are just some of the deals this week at South's Finest Meats that run through September the 1st. So head on over to South's Finest Meats before the weekend gets here and check out some of these amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. Wow. welcome back inside the final segment of the Stingray Show. Our guest this evening is senior writer for ESPN, Adam Rittenberg. And before the break, we were talking about college football as a whole. Now, Adam, let's go on ahead and dive into some of the matchups. And let's begin on a national level with the game tonight at 8 o'clock local time on ESPN. It is Nebraska going to Cincinnati. Give us your thoughts on where the Nebraska program is right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of excitement around Nebraska. You know, they finally made a bowl game last year, first time since 2016. They returned their quarterback in Dylan Raiola. They returned their offensive coordinator in Dana Holgorsen. They do have a new defensive coordinator, but he's from within the staff as Tony White moved on to Florida State. And they have some good players coming back. They've done well in the portal. You know, Matt Rhule is usually at the time in his tenure where he takes a big step forward. But they've got to show it, right? I mean, I put this out on X earlier today. I don't do Nebraska preseason hype. You know, I just don't. I mean, it's not something that has made anyone look good in a while. And so I want to see what they can do on the field. And this is an important opportunity. You know, this is a game that was originally scheduled. I think it was at Cincinnati originally, then it was moved to Indianapolis and now moved all the way to Kansas City, which essentially takes it from a Cincinnati or neutral type game to a Nebraska home game. And you look at Nebraska's schedule, guys, if you count this as a home game, which I do, they essentially don't play a road game until October 11th when they go to Nebraska, Maryland, which is one of the easier places to play in the Big Ten. So it is set up, absolutely. Offensive line is strong. Haven't had a ton of major injuries. Like they are set up to have a great season. I think they need to win this game. I think they need to win this game definitively. I think Cincinnati's an improving team with a good quarterback in Sorsby. But, you know, Nebraska, hey, this is your moment. You got to look good coming out the gate and give everybody reason to be excited about what you could do this season.
Let's move to tomorrow evening, and that, of course, is the big game involving the Big 12 and the SEC, Auburn at Baylor. Give us your preview of Auburn at Baylor.
Right, so another really exciting Friday night game, you know, SEC against Big 12. Jackson Arnold, what does he look like at quarterback for Auburn in this debut game in his home state? With a really good supporting cast. I know Auburn's play calling has gotten a lot of attention, justifiably so. It's kind of a muddle there with different coaches contributing, but how do they handle that element? And then Baylor really did a nice job of turning its season around. I mean, a month into that season last year, it looked like Dave Aranda was in real trouble. And, Baylor got it going. Sawyer Robertson got it going, guy that obviously started his college football career close to, you know, you guys, and especially you, Steven, in Starkville. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the Big 12 at the end of last year. So how does he look against Auburn's defense? I think talent-wise, I'd probably give the edge to Auburn, but Baylor's got a really good combination when you look at their top quarterback, top receiver, top running backs. They've got a good triple threat. And Dave Aranda calling the defense, that's always going to be a challenge. So interested to see schematically how these two teams come out and specifically how Jackson Arnold looks, because if he doesn't look good, I think Baylor has a really good chance of coming out of there with a win.
Adam, I know that you were on a time crunch to get out of here. As we walk out the door, would you please give us a preview of two games for Saturday? One of them is in your backyard, Ohio State taking on Texas, and the other one, the Battle of Death Valleys between Clemson and LSU.
Right. So, yeah, I get the two marquee games of the country. I think Ohio State and Texas is going to be a real test of how both teams have reloaded. For Ohio State, what does their defensive line look like? Is the supporting cast around Julian Sand, receivers, tight end, running backs, good enough to help him with his transition? If I were to select the most talented unit on the field in Columbus, it's Texas's defense. So it's a real tough assignment for Julian, but he's surrounded by the best player in college football, and Jeremiah Smith, one of the other best receivers in Carnell Tate, and a guy named Max Clair, who I believe was the top tight end transfer in the country. So he's going to have the options. If he can just make good decisions, you know, handle that start of the game, I think he'll be in decent shape. And then on the other side, there's so much to talk about with Texas, whether it's that star-studded defense, Arch Manning getting his first real test here as a starting quarterback going to Columbus. The thing I would just caution, guys, is that there's going to be a lot of conclusions and takes and loud things coming out of this game. I just don't, regardless of how it goes, unless there's a real blowout on one side or the other, I'm not going to feel that strongly about either team because both are works in progress. And yeah. I think especially Ohio State is going to be a different team by the time we get to November into December. The other game, I think, actually is one where you can draw more conclusions, and that's Clemson LSU, because you're talking about two quarterbacks who are proven, who have played a ton. Cade Klubnik started a ton of games under Garrett Riley's leadership. Garrett Nussmeier's been in the program a long time. Clemson's got a veteran roster. LSU has a veteran roster, whether that's players who have been in their program or guys they've picked up in the portal. We rated them as the number one offseason in the country this year for a reason. So, this is a huge one. I mean, again, I'm going to draw more from LSU Clemson than I will from Texas Ohio State, even though I get why Texas Ohio State is being seen as a bigger game.
Adam, look, I know that you've got a meeting to get to. Thank you, as always, for taking time out of your always busy schedule to join us. Enjoy covering week one of college football, and we would love to catch up with you later on down the season.
Okay, guys, you enjoy it too. Thanks for having me.
That is going to wrap up the week one preview right there with Tony Barnhart and Adam Rittenberg. Really do want to thank both of them. Tomorrow evening, when we come back on the Friday edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be discussing one game in particular, and that is going to be the game in Waco. That will be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're going to do a deep dive into Auburn and Baylor on the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show right before that game kicks off at 7 p.m. Catch you at 6 p.m. for the official preview of Auburn and Baylor right here on the Stingray Show. With all of the recent